Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We got Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert at what, Vikings camp today, Albert?
Yeah, I'm driving to Green Bay right now. See you guys.
Look at you.
We can talk as long as you guys want.
I like it. We might have to do two segments. Albert. I claim that 33% of Americans have no idea what state Green Bay is. You buying that?
How much? What percentage?
33% of Americans have no idea what state Green Bay is in.
I would say that's probably true.
Thank you.
I mean, it's like, guys, I mean, it's like the size of, like, Parma. I mean, like, just imagine Parma was next to Cleveland. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I'm not even an exaggeration. I mean, it's a really small place. Dustin, you played there, right? Like, it's just,
yeah.
It's a different environment. It's like, it's, so, you know, I would assume, like, non
It's like Orchard Park, man.
Well, I mean, but Orchard Park's, like, right next to Buffalo. Green Bay is, like, 2 hours from Milwaukee.
Right,
you know
that's
what
true.
I mean?
That's true.
So, yeah. So, I mean, like, where the stadium is like Orchard Park. Because Orchard Park, it's, like, in the neighborhood the same.
Yeah, place, it's like in the neighborhood. It's like the Hall of Fame stadium in Canton.
Yeah. No, I Adam, I would agree with you. I mean, if you weren't a football fan, what reason would you have
That's right.
to know where Green Bay is?
You wouldn't.
There is no reason, right?
Right. That's right. Hey, Albert, week one, the Browns play the Chiefs. That game is bigger for which team?
You know, if I were the Chiefs, I would be I'd just be, like, very careful how I play that game. They're going to have a lot of new offensive line starters. And, like, I think those guys they're bringing in are good players. Orlando Brown from the Ravens, Kyle Long from the Bears, Joe Tooney from the Patriots. They drafted Creed Humphrey from Oklahoma. I think that's got a chance to be a really, really good group. But I don't think there's any position on the field that takes more communication and cohesion than the offensive line. So, to me, I think the Chiefs have to sort of be careful on that one and how they protect their quarterback going up against what I think is going to be a pretty good Browns pass rush. So
you're – go ahead.
I think it's like – I think the Chiefs can play – it's a long way of saying, like, if I'm the Chiefs, like, yeah, you want to win the game, but I think I'm playing the long game there a little bit. Whereas for the Browns, I think it could be a pretty validating win beating the team that knocked you out of the playoffs.
Wow, Dustin. I thought Albert was going with you that whole time, and then he went with me at the end.
You think it's bigger for the Browns, Albert?
Of course it is.
I think so, yeah. I mean, like, what's your argument, Dustin?
My argument is this is a team coming off their worst loss in the Super Bowl. They're coming into this game with the new offensive line players. Obviously, you mentioned those guys. And they're playing the team, the upstart Browns, the team that just gave them a hard time in the postseason, the team that everybody's talking about this offseason. Going into this year, it's the Browns, it's Odell, it's Jarvis, it's this, it's that, it's Baker Mayfield, it's Kevin Stefanski. It's like the Browns are Super Bowl contenders, they're top five in everybody's power rankings, right? And I just feel like the Browns are playing with a little more house money than the Chiefs. The Chiefs talked about going 17-0, Patrick Mahomes mentioned that. I just feel like the game's bigger to them, and Bull thought I was crazy for having that take. I didn't think I was crazy.
Yeah, you know what, here's the way I would look at it, though, Dustin. It's like, all right, so like, if it's a close game, both teams are fine, right? Like, I think we'd agree that. Like, if it's a close game and one team wins or the other, whatever, you know? So really what we're talking about here is what happens if one team or the other gets blown out. If the Chiefs get blown out, I think, like, they can point to a bunch of different things, and they've been in the last two Super Bowls. If the Browns get blown out, then it's like, well, they blew the game last year against Chad Henne, and now the Chiefs have come in here with Patrick Mahomes, and blows them out again, I think it just, like, kind of presents more questions. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, where
sure.
have, like, Chiefs are coming into the season with some, like, standing questions that everybody knows they're going to have to answer, and they have, you know, a lot of recent success to fall back on if they were to lose badly in that game.
Fair enough.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, the Aaron Rodgers saga is finally over, or at least it's kind of over. I mean, he totally destroyed the organization today with his comments about free agency. I was really put off by his comments about he's looking for security. The man's made $200 million. I don't care how much money he makes, but don't tell us you're looking for security when you've made $200 million. But what did you think of that press conference today and his resolution with the Packers?
So I'm going to, like, tell you guys the honest truth. I really, like, I was with the Vikings all day, so I haven't gotten a chance to see it, but I've obviously seen a lot of the comments, like, in print and the reaction. And, you know, I just think what we're seeing right now is a star player who has real leverage, who felt like over the last year and a half, like, he was losing control of his situation, basically walking up there and trying to take control back. And basically walking up there and saying, I have a say here too. I, like, believe that, like, I have earned the right to speak my mind up here, and you can't control me. And so, like, I think that that's what this was about from the beginning. I mean, there's a communication breakdown before the draft last year, and not telling him that they were interested in Love until they were on the clock, I think, was a mistake by the Packers. Yeah, but really, when you look at the drafting of Jordan Love, like, basically what that is you combine that with his contract, which, you know, he's out of the guaranteed money now, he had lost control of the situation. And I think the whole thing now is about getting control back. And so that's cutting a year off his contract. That's doing the no franchise tag provision. That's getting assurances that the team will look at trading him if he doesn't want to be there anymore after this year. You know, I think when it boils, the way you want to look at this is the issue was at first about communication, and I think it still was over time, but it had morphed to something a little bigger, and I think that bigger thing was more about control.
Mm-hmm. And Albert, do you feel that he has that now? And then do you think that this is going to be just one and done for him in Green Bay?
I think it's going to be interesting. I think a lot probably depends on how the season goes, you know, and I think it's hard for anybody to say right now if they know definitively. You know, look, if he goes out and wins the MVP and they win the Super Bowl and, you know, there's a lot of good feeling there. You know, maybe he looks at it and says, this is the best place for me to close out my career. Mm-hmm. I've got a chance to, I mean, like, you know, if he were to win 3 Super Bowls, say, now all of a sudden he's like past Bart Starr. You know, and he's got the most Super Bowl rings of any quarterback in franchise history, which is significant, you know, and maybe they're building a statue of him next to Lombardi's outside the stadium someday.
Right.
If, like, things don't go as well and, you know, they get knocked out in the same round or earlier this year and Brady wins the Super Bowl again, let's say, well then, yeah, I think we're probably right back where we were last year, again in February and March. And guys, I don't think that's all that different from the situation in Seattle either. I think there are a couple of these where I think you're going to have to watch closely over the course of the year because I don't think anything's truly settled. I think the issues have been sort of tabled for the time being, but, you know, I don't think that they've gone away.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, today Kevin Stefanski was asked, you know, the percentage of vaccinated players in the Browns. He didn't answer. I've heard from a source that the Browns are at 70%. I don't know if you've heard from the Browns specifically. I know there's – I don't know what we're up to now in terms of teams that have reached the 85%. Now, obviously, UI and Dustin are all on the same page in terms of their vaccine. But beyond the arguments that I think we're all sick of about should you get vaccinated or not, the bottom line is it is better for your team if they reach the threshold – beyond the obvious of you're less likely to get COVID, you're less likely to get serious symptoms if you get vaccinated. Beyond that, it's just that there are more freedoms for the players at over 85%, and that could lead to better chemistry. It seems like a no-brainer that you'd want your team to get vaccinated no matter how you feel. How do you think the league is doing? How do you are in terms of where they are with the numbers on the teams percentage-wise, are they in a good spot right now or no?
So They're doing the best they can. You know, what's going to be interesting is, like, what happens to these percentages when there are cutdowns. Because at least my perception right now is a lot of the guys who aren't vaccinated are guys that are, like, have some level of security with their spot on the roster. And so, like, the easiest way to look at it is, well, if there are, you know, 9 players unvaccinated on 90-man roster right now, that's 10% of your team, right?
Yep.
But what happens if, you know, what happens when you cut down to 53 and all 9 of those guys are still on your roster because they're star players?
That's true.
Now we're talking about 9 of 53. That's a much bigger percentage. You know,
good point.
So I think they're still going to keep chipping away at this, guys. And I think I gave you guys the sort of way that the league's looked at it. You know, like, you had 25% of the early adopters. Those guys were going to get it regardless. You had 25% of guys who were going to do what they're told. And once, you know, the league put doctors and teams put doctors in front of the players, those guys got vaccinated. That brings you up to 50%. There's 25% that were skeptical but went along with it. I think Ryan Tannehill would be in this group where, you know, they're all right, like, because it's going to make it easier for me professionally, because it's what's best for my team, I'm going to do it. That brings you to 75%. And I think, like, kind of tightening the screws on these guys over the last couple of weeks has been trying to chip away at that final 25%. And I don't think they're done making things more comfortable for the vaccinated guys or less comfortable for the unvaccinated guys. I think we're going to see some more measures here, including maybe, like, some sort of 85% rule that's going to make things easier on the team. Because I can tell you, like, this is already, like, causing some issues, even though the numbers are small. Like, one is the weight room. And how many people you can have in the weight room at once? Like, right. That's a problem already. So, and I know of at least one team that's set up a separate weight room for unvaccinated guys. You guys want to guess who has the nicer weight room?
I would say the vaccinated guys have the way nicer weight room.
Yeah, definitely.
right. So yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing, guys. So they're going to keep chipping away that final 25%. Yeah. I think they're doing the best they can. It is where it is right now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were we haven't gotten into it deeply yet, but mentioned briefly that Mike Sando actually wrote a column where he graded out he talked to a bunch of evaluators and coaches and had them pick which tier every quarterback is in, and Baker Mayfield ended up as the 17th quarterback as a tier 3 quarterback. Do you think that's accurate, or do you think he's better than that?
I mean, I think coming out of last year, that's probably around where you would put him. I'd have to see the list. I haven't seen it, but, you know, I think that that's probably fair that you would consider him after last year, like, a middle of the NFL quarterback with upside to be more. And I think the reason why is because, you know, Kevin Stefanski and the staff there did a nice job of protecting him last year. They obviously ran the ball really well. And so, you know, I think it was, I think if Baker was being, you know, if you had Baker in an honest moment, he would tell you, I wish I was developed this way from the start, you know, and I wish I had this from the start. And so, you know, I think because the Browns did the right thing in breaking Baker into a new offense and, you know, put him in the best position to develop, you know, I think that when you look at him across the league, there still are some questions because, you know, how much of it was really him. And we'll find out over time.
Mm-hmm. Albert, I wanted to ask you about Deshaun Watson. He reported to camp today. Coach Culley said he was a professional, wasn't a distraction. This is an odd situation going on in Houston with Deshaun Watson. He's practicing, right? I guess I assume he's practicing and going through drills and things like that. How is this going in Houston?
It's really weird. And I can tell you, like, the Texans really – so, like, the best way to kind of explain what they've been at is – look at the history of it. And, you know, I think when teams called in January and February and, like, into March, the GM there, Nick Caserio, didn't hang up on teams calling about Watson, but the idea of trading was a non-starter. And as sort of legal trouble mounted, as it became increasingly clear, the relationship between Deshaun and the owner was completely broken. I think that Nick started to listen a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Now, the issue here is that, like, for Nick to justify trading away a 25-year-old quarterback who has a chance to be, if he's not already, one of the top five quarterbacks in the league, who signed for the next 5 years. I mean, justify that as your first big swing as a general manager, you would need like a historic return. And the issue is, like, right now, because of all the uncertainty with the legal case and what the league's going to do, I think it's hard for another team to give that much up to get him. And so I think that's sort of why we're at the stalemate that we're at. Mm-hmm. And the league didn't do the Texans any favors by leaving him off the commissioner's exempt list, putting him out there. So because of all of that, it's really awkward right now. Will he go on the exempt list before the start of the season? I don't know, but I certainly think it's possible. It's just a messy, messy situation, guys. And I think if you're a team looking at potentially trading for him, it's hard because, like, you need sign-off from your owner. And the minute he walks in the building, he is immediately the face of your franchise, and you're inheriting like everything that's gone on in the last 5 or 6 months. So it becomes a massive story that you've got to deal with now. And you know, I think that's why it's just problematic all the way around.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, to college, or really to high school, Quinn Ewers, the top quarterback prospect, is talking about leaving high school early to go to Ohio State early. Part of the reason, obviously, is to make money now, name, image, likeness. He might make millions of dollars. What can you tell us about this, and will we see this happen more often now?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I mean, I certainly think, and we talked about this when the NIL stuff started a month ago. I really think, like, programs like Ohio State and Texas that are in relatively big cities where the college team is number one are going to have their athletes in position to make a lot of money. And so I think this sort of thing is interesting. I don't know a ton about the kid himself, but from everything I've heard, he's like an elite, like Trevor Lawrence type of quarterback prospect, which of course, as you guys know, equals earning power. And what's really fascinating about it to me is the one thing that I did hear on this is that he was held back at some point. So he's a year older. So he would actually be going to college in the year that, like, he had been on track to go on, to go in all those years ago. And so it's interesting from that standpoint in that there's, like, a bunch of different things at work here. And I certainly think, like, with some of these guys, you know, that the fact that there's money out there is going to make it so, well, hey, you know, if I can get myself in position to go to a college that's going to facilitate me making a lot of money as fast as I can, then I'm going to do that. And so it wouldn't surprise me if we start to see in high school what we've seen in college, which, I mean, I think it's, like, been – and, Dustin, I don't know if this goes back to when you were there, but, you know, I feel for, like, for a long time now, like, big-time college football programs have put their kids on tracks to graduate in 3 years.
Pretty much.
So they can go to the NFL, right? Like, if they're good enough. And it sort of makes me wonder if that's going to happen with some top high school players now, too. You know, where if a kid's good enough, they're not going to be a lot of them who are good enough. But if a kid's, like, really, truly elite, if, like, you know, he puts himself in position to graduate early so he can start making money earlier, which, oh, by the way, would also help him get to the NFL earlier.
Like, how about the Manning kid, right? I mean, in high school, like, that kid's got to be worth millions, right?
I would think so, right?
Yeah.
And I guess, like, Pete Thamel, you know, my buddy did a great job, and I know you guys are buddies with Pete, too. He did a great job in the story. And, you know, Pete, like, I think one of the things that was in there was just kind of like how, you know, like I think it's the UIL down in Texas, whatever the governing body of our high schools is, isn't letting him cash in, which is part of the reason why he's going to do this. And, I mean, it sure sounds like he's going to be at Ohio State in a week. So, this sort of becomes, like, in some sense, like, the kids against, like, the high school governing bodies now, too. And so this has gone from being an NCAA issue to, I mean, in your neck of the woods there, maybe like an OHSAA issue, right? Like, where they've got to determine whether or not the kids can cash in. And, I mean, like, I can remember, I'm old enough to remember, I know you guys are, too, like, when LeBron, there were all those questions about LeBron. Like, imagine if LeBron could have had money in high school.
When LeBron got the Hummer in high school and he was driving around with it, and everyone's like, well, that's illegal. You can't do that. Well, you can now, apparently.
I mean, holy crap. How much could LeBron have made?
Oh, my God.
I mean, he would have been – I mean, like, Nike would have signed him when he was 15, right?
Right.
I mean, like, he would have been, like, making – even, like, Zion Williamson, which I don't think Zion was the level of LeBron from a fame standpoint, but, like, what Zion could have made in high school, I mean, holy crap, you know? So it feels to me, at least, like, maybe the trickle-down effect here is, like, that these high school governing bodies are now going to be in the position that the NCAA was just in, which is we got to decide if it's okay for high school athletes to be cashing in on their name, images like this as well.
Yep.
We're talking with Adam.
Albert, I did want to touch on the Steelers here with you as well. Big Ben reports to camp. He looks a little bit leaner than he did.
That's Little Benny. Little Benny. Get it right.
Little Benny reports to camp. He looks a little bit leaner than he did a year ago. What sort of shape are you hearing that he's in?
Yeah, you know, I talked to him the other day. I think he's fine. Like, I don't think it's like, you know, I don't think he's eating like Tom Brady, if that's what you're asking.
He's not eating the avocado ice cream.
Yeah, I think the BR7 method might be like cutting, like, you know, going from ordering pizza two nights a week to one night a week.
Right.
But I do think that he's made a concerted effort to be a better leader and and not that he wasn't before, but I think he understands like there's a lot on the line for him this year. Might be his last shot. And the Steelers aren't young everywhere, but they are young in some key places, particularly along the offensive line and with their running back. And so, you know, I think Ben, if you ask me now, I would say what was more significant than, like, the way he physically looked was what he was doing at practice while I was there. And he and I talked about that, too, how, like, he was taking Najee's arm and putting his arm around him and explaining this to him. And, you know, helping with his offensive linemen, and they may be starting, you know, two rookie offensive linemen. They lost Alejandro Villanueva, David DeCastro, and Marquise Pouncey. So they're going to be going with an almost entirely new offensive line. So I just think, like, you know, a lot of people have made a big deal out of what Ben looks like. When I think, like, how he's able to kind of bring the young guys around him along is going to be a bigger factor in the way the season plays out. Because I do think that while they're not going to be counting on young guys all over the place, they're going to be counting in some young guys in some really key spots where I think it could make or break their season.
Albert, last thing, we appreciate all the time. Your guy, Andy Benoit, getting hired by the Rams. What do you think of that?
Yeah. How about that? Well, you know, Andy's had good relationships in the Rams building for a long time, and I'm really happy for him. Like, I've gotten to know Andy a bunch, and, obviously he worked with us, like, for the first 3.5 years I was there. The best thing I can say about Andy is he is truly, truly passionate about football, about the X's and O's. And I'm somebody who loves football, but, like, the way, like, just how inquisitive he is and how he was always sort of looking for the next thing. And I can't tell you how many times I go meet him at the combine, and he'd be sitting there with a coach, and a coach would be picking his brain on stuff, you know? And so, like, I think, like, those of us who've worked with him, I think, have an idea that he may be destined for something like this down the line. And I'm just really, really happy for him that it happened for him.
That's awesome.
Hey, Albert, one last thing, because I forgot to ask you about, we were talking about it yesterday, the fact that you got this tidbit out of Mike Tomlin. We talked about it on the show yesterday, that he hasn't been in a grocery store in 10 years, which sounds crazy, but then it took us down a road of, like, I guess if he got a lot of money, and he's got, you know, good money for a normal person, but, like, if you're a millionaire or certainly, like, a billionaire, why would you ever go to the supermarket? You just get somebody to do it for you, I guess.
Well, especially now.
Yeah,
I mean, my wife doesn't go to the grocery store. She calls Instacart. Like, now you don't have to go to the grocery store anymore, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like we have a grocery store you like down the street. Like, so, like, I'll go there, but I could basically walk there from where we live. Like, as for, like, the other stuff, you got to get the bigger grocery store. Like, I'm telling you, like, my wife, like, calls and orders all that stuff. So I think a lot of us have already started doing that. But then he's been doing it for 10 years, I think. Let's put it this way. I think Mike Tomlin's a pretty distinctive character in a place like Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So it might be a time management thing where going to the supermarket might not be the most effective use of his time.
That's true.
Because I'm not so sure that it's Mike Tomlin walks into a supermarket in like Penn Hills or Cranberry or wherever, that he's getting left alone. I think there are probably going to be at least a handful of people that might stop him and say hello.
Albert, we appreciate it. You took a lot of time with us. Thanks as always.
Thanks always, Albert. Hey, appreciate it, man.
Hey, thanks for helping me with my drive, guys. I appreciate it.
Got it, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.